morning. It's good to see all of you out, and truly is a blessing to be here. I was able to enjoy a nice vacation last week, and what a blessing that was. But it's always good to be back and to see all of your smiling faces. And truly, as I was saying to Jerry, God is faithful all the time. And I hope all of you can say that. No matter what's going on in your life, we know that God loves us, that He is faithful, He will never change, and we can trust in His Word. And so let's take heart this morning and let us lift our hearts up in worship to Him. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins. We have just a few announcements. This afternoon, we go to Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home there in Pleasant Hill. We meet at the church at 2:30 and we meet at the nursing home at 3. Tonight we have our Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock this evening, and so I'd encourage you to come to that. On Wednesday we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. That's always a great time to come together as a group of brothers and sisters and pray to the Lord and encourage one another, lift one another up in prayer. We do still have our March activity calendars on the back table there. Pick one of those up if you haven't done so yet. We are enjoying our new adult Sunday school classes, and I would really encourage you to come. Get up a little bit earlier in the morning, perhaps, but what a blessing it is to come earlier in the morning to study God's Word together. Just what a blessing that is. So I encourage you to come if at all possible. We have two adult Sunday school classes. Dave Wilcox is teaching lifestyle Christianity up here in the auditorium. Bob Adamson downstairs is teaching accountable to God. And so that's been a great blessing thus far. And also this month, we are having a spiritual emphasis month, growing in God. And it's been a blessing thus far, and we look forward to the rest of the month focusing in on our growth in God. Then also, as you notice in your bulletin, we have a couple inserts. One of those inserts is for Faith Baptist Bible College. This Friday, they're going to have their spring concert, and that's on their campus there in Ankeny. It'll be in the Convocation Building, and what a blessing that is as well. And I would encourage you, if you're at all possible, to make it to that concert. It's at 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 18th, there at the Convocation Building. I do believe that's all of our announcements. Let's go ahead and bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just as we have testified earlier, we do thank You that You are faithful, and that no matter what is going on in our lives, You are always there, You are always the same. And I thank You that You are our rock and our anchor, our steadfast hope. And so we do thank You most of all for Jesus Christ. For truly without Jesus, we would have nothing in this world. We would have no hope. We would have no joy. We would really have no reason for living. But we do thank You for Jesus, that He came to this earth. He was born so many centuries ago there in Bethlehem. And He grew up. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And truly He came to die on the cross for me and for each one here, for every single person in the world. And we thank You for that infinite sacrifice of love. We praise You for the promise that whoever believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow. We thank You for that. Help us never to take our salvation for granted. I do thank You that You have saved us to serve You. And truly, as we are here this morning and gathered together to worship, I do pray that we would be lifting our hearts up in honesty and humility and worshiping You, ascribing the praise to You that You alone deserve. And not just here this morning do we want to worship You, but truly every single day, every hour, we want to be worshiping You in spirit and in truth. And so we do thank You for Your Word. Do thank You for the voices You have given to us so that we can sing praises to You, so that we can lift up our voices in prayer. So many things. And I do thank You for prayer. Because truly we do have many, many needs. We have many burdens upon our heart. I do even pray for some of those that are under the weather. I think of Lester right now as he's not feeling well. I pray that You would encourage him, and I pray that You'd strengthen him so that he would even be able to be with us soon. Think of Diana and Greta. She hasn't been with us for a while. I do pray that You'd encourage her in a special way. I pray for the Randalls, for Chuck and Karen. Pray that You would encourage them as they have many health issues that they're dealing with, and so many other ones that we could pray for. So many physical needs, but I also do pray for the spiritual needs. That no matter what is going on, that we'd be trusting in You, and that even through those difficult times, our faith would grow stronger. I even do pray for us as a church body that we'd be united together with the single purpose of bringing glory to your name. And so I do thank you for each one here this morning. I do thank you for the blessing it is to be here. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we pray this in his name. Amen.
If you open the covers of your blue song books, you'll find a new sheet. Be now imitators of your Lord.
And the bulletin.
Oh, it's in your bulletin. So I trust if you got a bulletin, if you're at the ushers, we're so gracious to find you one. You should find this. And we're going to be singing this in a little bit, but I will sing it for you now. So take that out and listen along as I sing. Turn over to number 8. Turn to number 8. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. And as you find your place there, let's stand together and sing. Number 8.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of John, chapter 15, and verses 1 through 8. John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples.
Turn your songbooks again to 234. Crown him with many crowns. 234. Take out these sheets again. Be now imitators of your Lord. We're learning this and singing this just for this month as a song to go along with our Sunday school emphasis month. As we know, we talked about the fact that we should be growing on the vine, taken from, as Pastor just read, from John, the book of John, talking about God is the vine, or excuse me, Jesus as the vine, and God is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. And so we're going to sing about how we need to be imitators of our Lord, and he even talks about in the second verse, stay away from fruitless deeds. Obviously, then, as a vine, we should be bearing fruit. So let's learn together. Be now imitators of your Lord. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you are with us today. Lord, we thank you that you are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, that we have not been saved to a salvation that we must work out on our own. But Lord, that we are a new creation in you, Father, and that we have been placed on a tree of life. Father, I pray that we would then, having the resources, as it says in 2 Peter, Lord, having all things that pertain to life and godliness, and through Jesus Christ, Father, then I pray that we would press on to maturity. Father, I pray that a part of that this morning would be how we worship you with our possessions. And I pray, Lord, that we would just demonstrate that in how we give. Father, despite whatever it is that we may be able to give, most of all, I pray that we would purpose in every one of our hearts to be mindful of just how we give and the spirit we give, and Lord, that it would be given wholly and completely to you without doubts or without regret. Lord, we thank you again for Jesus Christ, Lord, that you gave him completely to us and for us, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's round off our song service this morning then with 409. 409. As you find your place there, let's stand as we sing our final song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. 409. today. You may be seated.
Amen. The children can go downstairs for children's church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the assurance of our salvation. As we mentioned before, we thank you for Jesus Christ, his perfect sacrifice, and that whoever believes on him has eternal life. And I thank you for the wonderful truth in your word, that once we are saved, we are forever safe in your arms. Nothing can ever take that salvation away. Nothing can separate us from the love that we have in you, from your love toward us. And so we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for the truth that we see in it. And even as we look into your word and we examine even the words of Jesus Christ, I do pray that we would learn, that we'd ever be so thankful for what we have in Jesus and how you care for us and how you desire for us to bear fruit. And so I do pray that you'd help us even as we look at all these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is March 13th, 2011. And it's kind of a special day. What did you do this morning? Did you do anything special this morning at 2 o'clock? Did anyone actually get up at 2 o'clock this morning and set their clocks 1 hour ahead? I don't think any of us really did that, because probably most of us did that last night. But today, we have the start of daylight saving time. Now, do you know what is 1 week from today? What is 1 week from today? It's a special day. It's March 20th. It is the first day of spring. Now, personal testimony for me, I have been looking forward to both of these days quite a bit. I don't know about you, but I always look forward to the beginning of spring. This winter, I had kind of a hard case of spring fever. You know, probably back in December and January even, I was ready for the snow to be gone. I was ready for the snow to all melt and for the mud to get there, you know, and for the grass to start greening up. And I was just ready to get outside and have the nice warm sunshine. I was ready to get the lawnmower out. You know, now maybe in the middle of the summer, I'm not going to be so thrilled about mowing the lawn, but I'm ready for that. But really, if we honestly look at the winter, it really hasn't been that bad, has it? We really haven't gotten the tons of snow. We haven't gotten the freezing rain. We haven't had the extremes in cold. We've really been blessed in a real way as far as having a mild winter. We've been rather spoiled. And even as we look forward to that first day of spring, soon it'll be time to shed the jackets, to shed the scarves and the gloves, all those things, and to go around in short sleeves and sandals if you wear sandals. What a thing to look forward to. Now, with the coming of spring, there's many pleasant experiences. Now, whenever I was at my parents' house during my vacation, we went on many walks. And my parents live out in the country. And so as we walked down the country road, we heard something. Actually, maybe we saw something and heard something as well. We heard the first red-winged blackbird of the year, at least for me. Now, if you've ever been out in the country during the summertime, you know the call of the red-winged blackbird. And whenever you hear that call, you know, it just makes you think of summertime. What a blessing that was. A welcome sound to my ears. We saw robins last week. Now, maybe you saw those even earlier than last week, but it was great to see those robins. And even as you look at the birds, they start changing whenever the weather starts warming up. I think of goldfinches. I always used to think that goldfinches went south for the winter. But in reality, goldfinches stay here all year round. Well, you think, well, I don't see any bright yellow birds during the winter. Well, you know what? The male goldfinches, they lose their color during the winter. And so they basically just look like a sparrow. But whenever the warm weather comes, the male starts getting that bright yellow again. And that's great to see. And even the birds that stay here all winter, they change their song whenever it starts warming up. Have you noticed that? Those nice warm days, the birds are just chirping away. They're nice and happy. That's a blessing to my soul, hearing those songbirds chirping merrily. Also on my vacation, we went to my sister's place, my oldest sister, and she has a nice little acreage there, and they have some longhorn cattle. And it was a blessing because whenever I was there, one of the pregnant cows had her calf. And I got to see that little calf on the first day that it was born. And just an amazing creation of God, how that little calf, and it was all furry and black and white, cute little thing. But even right after it is born, it can get up on its legs and kind of run around, even though it might be a little tipsy-turvy. You know, what a blessing to see that. We think of the spring, coming of spring and a renewal of life. The trees budding out. The flowers pushing their way up through the ground. Think of the crocuses and the tulips and the daffodils. The month of March, and we see all of this life and this growth around us, and the greens that are associated with springtime. All of the drab brown is replaced with the green. And it's in this context of the growth of the springtime that we are focusing in on something that also is associated with growth, not so much physical growth, but our spiritual growth. Because even though we love seeing the greens of spring and the flowers and the trees budding, we love seeing that and we appreciate that, but there's something we should appreciate even more, and that is the blessing of seeing fellow believers and even we ourselves growing in the Lord. We should be all the more thankful for that, even more than the springtime flowers and the birds. The growth that we have in God as born-again believers. And so that's what we're focusing in on this month of March, is growing in God. Now last week, if you were able to be with us, you remember Dan, he preached from Romans chapter 11. And he taught the truth from the Word of God, how that Paul was talking about an olive tree, by way of example, by way of a symbol really, an olive tree, a cultivated olive tree. And there were certain branches that were broken off. And do you remember what those broken off branches represented? It would be representing unbelieving Israel. And then in their place, certain branches from a wild olive tree were grafted in. And do you remember what those represented? It represent Gentiles, really looking at the church. And so, we think about that, the olive tree, and those grafted in branches. And as we continue reading through Romans, we realize God's not done with Israel yet. Israel still has a prominent position in God's overall plan. But we think of whether it's the natural branches in the olive tree or the grafted in wild branches. How does the olive tree work? Who supports what? Is it the branches that support the root of the olive tree, or is it the root of the olive tree that support the branches? And really, it is the root that supports the branches. And what does the root symbolize? It is symbolizing God Himself. And so as believers, as the called ones of God, we are supported by the root of the tree. And it is our duty as branches to do what? If you have an olive tree, and you have branches on the olive tree, what is that branch supposed to do? What is the purpose of an olive branch? It is to bear olives, right? And so as we look at our lives as believers, as branches on that olive tree, looking at the whole church there and being branches on the olive tree, what is the duty of the church? It is to bear fruit to God. That is our privilege and our responsibility. It's our privilege to produce fruit of holiness and of love. There's so much in the Scriptures that we could go to that talks about fruit in the believer's life. We looked at Paul last week and the imagery of the olive tree. We come this morning to a passage in John chapter 15. We just read it. And Jesus also uses imagery to describe our realities in Jesus Christ. Why don't we turn to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We'll read through the passage again to make it fresh in our memories. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And here Jesus is teaching His disciples, and He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And so Paul, we saw earlier, used that familiar picture of the olive tree, something that the Jews were very familiar with. Jesus uses an equally familiar picture here. He uses the picture of the grapevine. Now, as you think about traveling in Iowa, and you go down the highway, we're familiar with agriculture, aren't we? And as we go down the highway, what are some agricultural things that we see that's just commonplace? We see cornfields, right? We see soybean fields. We see farms filled with livestock. That's what we're familiar with. Now, as Jesus and the disciples would have been walking through the countryside of Judea, they would have been very familiar with seeing certain agricultural commodities. They would have seen the olive trees. They would have seen the vineyards. And so Jesus uses this very familiar picture, the picture of the vineyard, to teach spiritual truth. And Jesus describes himself as what? As the vine. And he doesn't just say, "I am the vine." He says, "I am the true vine." He's saying, "I am the genuine vine, the authentic vine. I am the real thing." You look back in Israel's history, and there would have been other vines. Vines that should have been good and should have been true. But instead of being good and true, they were a debased vine. They were more like a wild vine. Because you know what type of fruit they produced? They produced fruits of wickedness instead of fruits of righteousness. We see so many leaders in Israel's history that would not have been a true vine. They would have been a debased and a wicked vine. But Jesus, so much different than the other wicked rulers in Israel's past, Jesus was the true vine. And he was, and he is, completely holy and completely just. He is totally apart from evil and sin. And so Jesus is the true vine. And his Father is the vine dresser. It is God the Father's duty and his privilege to care for the vine. And not really the vine, but the vine's branches. He is the one that encourages the growth, who encourages the health of those branches growing upon the vine. Jesus says there, in verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." And so as we think of Jesus' teaching concerning the vine, I think it's helpful for us to understand a little bit of background concerning what is called viticulture, or the caring for grapevines. Now, how did they do that back in the first century? How were they grown? How were they cultivated? Well, early on, the grapevines would have just grown upon the ground, or they would have grown upon rocks or on walls. But eventually, they decided, well, it's good to build some type of structure so that they can get up off the ground. And so they would build trellises. They would build poles upon which the vines could climb. And they would care for those vines. Now, if you know anything about grapevines, you know that there's a lot of work involved with taking care of grapevines. There's the weeding, there's the cultivation. And if there would be a big storm that would come along, what would they have to do? They'd have to take care of the grounds, because there could be some washed out areas. But also they'd have to care for the vines, because the vines, the branches would go, they would be long, and they could have gotten blown down in the storm. And so what would the vine dresser do? He would lift up those vine branches and put them back on the trellis or on the pole. It must be lifted back into place. Now in the springtime, there would be suckers that would come out of the branches. And in the springtime, the vine dresser would prune back some of those suckers, because he would want the main branch to get the nutrients. And also during that springtime period, there would be certain branches, they would be new branches, and they would be non-fruiting branches. But he didn't just cut them all off. There would be certain non-fruiting branches that he would lift up and that he would put upon that support system of the trellis or the pole. And he would be hoping that non-fruiting vine would eventually bear fruit, even next year. Now, at the end of the year, in the fall, there would be a severe pruning. And actually, the vine dresser would take off all the leaves, and he would also trim off the unwanted branches, the water sprouts as well. And so you think about being a vine dresser, this was a big responsibility. You had to have a certain amount of knowledge. Now, we think of Christ's imagery here. The Father is the vine dresser. Can't we be thankful that as the branches, we don't have someone taking care of us that is just a novice, that is some naive vine dresser that just gets out the pruning shears and starts hacking away? That's not how God is. God is really the master gardener. He is the master vine dresser. And the Father knows just how to work with us as the branches. And He is a caring vine dresser. That should make us so thankful that we have someone taking care of us, watching over us, nurturing us so that we will be the most healthful, the most bearing the most fruit. That is the vine dresser that we have, the loving Father. Now we look there at verse 2, what Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He lifts up." Now there are various ways to translate the word that I translate "lifts up." It could also be translated "take away." But I really believe it's talking about lifting up as we look at the culture and how they cared for vines. I really believe what Jesus is talking about here in verse 2 is what the vine dresser did in the springtime. And remember what the vine dresser did? He would lift up certain non-fruiting branches, and he wouldn't just cut them off. He would lift them up. He would care for them and nurture them so that one day they would bear fruit. He'd lift up those branches. And then also, notice too, in verse 2, "Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit." We think about these branches, and I've even gotten ahead of myself a little bit. But first of all, the branches are we as believers, and we know that really by what Jesus says later on in verse 5. But notice it is every branch in me. Every branch in me. The only way that we can have any type of life is as we are in Jesus, as we are in that vine. That's the only way. There's no life apart from Jesus. And really, there's no life in isolation from other believers. Because you think of a vine and the branches, they are all connected to that. You think they're connected to that vine. They're connected to Jesus, so we have that unity. We have that camaraderie. Every branch in me. And then we have the two different types. That does not bear fruit, He lifts up. He is caring for them, prodding them on to growth. Now we can praise the Lord that God works in our lives in the best possible way. We can praise the Lord for the day that we were saved. And as saved individuals, we are branches in the vine. And it is our privilege, it is our responsibility, it is really our natural instinct to bear fruit. But yet not everyone bears fruit at the same rate. Not everyone bears really the same amount of fruit. Sometimes it may take a little while for a new believer to bear fruit. But yet God is patient, and He cares for each individual believer, and He works in each individual life so that they will bear fruit. He lifts up those branches. And then those branches that do bear fruit, He prunes them so that it may bear more fruit. Now, how does the Father, the master vine dresser, how does He prune the branches? How does that work out? We could compare it to the removal of dross from precious metals. You know how metal is purified, say gold or silver. It is heated up to the point where it's liquid. And then the impurities come to the top and they can skim those off. Well, really, pruning is the same idea here. Taking away those things that are not needful or that are even hurtful in our life. How does that work out in practical ways? Really, whenever the Father disciplines us, that is His pruning, I believe. We can go to several passages that talk about discipline in the believer's life. But we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. And what does it say here? "Now no chastening or no disciplining seems to be joyful for the present." It's not a fun experience. It's rather painful. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So how does God prompt us to bear more fruit? By discipline us, by pruning us. As God disciplines us, it's not a pleasant experience, but it is for our good. Because what does it yield there? It says in Hebrews, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So whenever we get a little spank on the behind by God the Father, it is something that we should be thankful for, because it's ultimately for our good, so that we might bear more fruit to righteousness. God wants us to be holy, even as He is holy. And God doesn't just leave us alone so that we can create our own holiness. No, God is there with us all the time, prompting us to be more holy as He is holy. He's constantly working in our lives. We continue on in John chapter 15. We come to verse 3. And Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Jesus, throughout His ministry, taught the disciples so many things. He told them about the Father, and He told them about Himself. And the disciples believed what He said concerning God and concerning Himself, and they were purified by believing on Him. What did Jesus say earlier in John? We could flip back to John chapter 13, in verses 10 and 11, as we ponder upon being clean. Jesus said to him, referring to Peter, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who would betray Him, therefore He said, 'You are not all clean.'" So Jesus here, washing the disciples' feet. The 11 disciples were clean because they had trusted in Jesus Christ, but there was one there, Judas Iscariot. He never believed on Jesus Christ. And that one was not clean. But Jesus says to the disciples, "You are clean." We continue on in John chapter 15 now. Jesus exhorts them. This is something that you must do in order to be fruitful. Do you want to be fruitful in your spiritual life? Well, Jesus tells us how we can be fruitful in verse 4 of chapter 15. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So what's Jesus saying here as far as abiding in Him? Really, our existence, our life, our total identity is found in Jesus. It is found in the vine. So we must continue, we must remain in that sphere of existence. So if the disciples are in Jesus, then really Jesus is in them. It's reciprocal. That's the only way that they can be bearing spiritual fruit, is as Jesus' life is imparted to them and as they are connected to the life of Jesus. The branch just out on its own, a branch that is disconnected, it can't have any grapes on its own because it's cut off from the life. It's cut off from the vine. We must be connected to Jesus. We must be abiding in Him in order to be producing spiritual fruit, to have spiritual life. We must have that close fellowship. Now, in a sense, there's a way that we are abiding in Jesus Christ the moment we're saved. But in another sense, there's a practical abiding, a constant abiding, whenever we are in obedience to Jesus. We come to John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. We skip ahead here. Jesus really explains this, what it means to abide in Him. He says there in verse 9 of chapter 15, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So what does it mean to abide in Jesus? It means that we love Him. And if we really love Jesus, that means we're going to obey what He has told us to do. That's what it means to abide in Jesus, to keep His word. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, the same idea repeated. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, the same author, John the Apostle, says, "Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." And then as we skip ahead to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." So if we want to produce spiritual life, we must be abiding in Jesus. If we are abiding in Jesus, that means that we are loving Him, that we are obeying His commands. Well, how do we know God's commands? How do we know what God wants us to do? Well, we find that out by reading God's Word, right? So that's why it's important for us to read God's Word, so that we know what God wants us to do, so that we can do it, so that we can abide in the vine, so that we can be fruitful, That's how it all works together. We go back to John chapter 15. We read now verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Now it's easy for us as human beings, it's easy for us to think a lot of ourselves, isn't it? We think, well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I do pretty well. Especially whenever things are going well for us, it's easy to get a big head. But Jesus really is making things very clear for the disciples. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." What can a branch do in and of itself? It can do nothing in and of itself. Jesus is the vine. He is the source of all life. So what can the disciples do in and of themselves? They can do nothing. In reality, they are nothing apart from the vine, apart from Jesus Christ. The only way that we can be spiritual Christians, the only way that we can please God, is as we are connected to Jesus, as we are abiding in Him, as we obey His Word. That's the only way we can bear much fruit, as we love and obey Him. Well, thinking of the negative aspect of it now, what if a believer decides, "I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I don't want to have anything to do with God." And instead of abiding in Him, instead of loving Him, instead of obeying Him, they turn their back on Him and they run away and they decide to do their own thing and to sin and to disobey. They decide to grieve the Spirit of God. They decide to quench Him. And it's as if we think of the vine imagery. It's as if that branch cuts off the sap that comes from the vine. And what is that branch going to do if it cuts off the life-giving sap? That branch is just going to wither, isn't it? It's not going to have any fruits. It's not going to prosper. It's going to be unhealthy. It's going to be sickly. We read there in verse 6 of chapter 15, "If anyone does not abide in me, if he is disobedient, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned." So you have that sickly branch, that branch that's not abiding in Christ. That branch that has chosen to do its own thing. What happens to that branch? It's cut off, it's cast out, it dries up. What good is a branch that doesn't bear fruit? It's not useful for anything. It's not fulfilling its God's given purpose. And so that non-fruiting branch, it's not a new branch. This is a branch that it's just not bearing fruit. It's cut off and it's disposed of. Now, whenever we talk about this, we don't want to have any misunderstanding. This isn't saying that a believer can lose his salvation. No, that's not what it's saying. Because we've seen all throughout the book of John, as you look at it, Jesus says time and time again, "You're safe in my hands. You're safe in the Father's hands. I will never cast anyone out that the Father has given to me." Jesus Christ is never going to lose any of his sheep. And so it's not an issue of eternal security. There's no possible way that a believer can become lost again. It's impossible. So Jesus isn't talking about that whenever he's talking about a branch being cut off. But for the believer who chooses to disobey God as a constant lifestyle, the one who refuses to stay in fellowship with Jesus, the one who cuts off the lifeline, for that one there's not really any purpose in living. That one is really useless in this life. And so it's just like that pruned branch is cut off, it's withered. It's not useful for anything except for be tossed in the burn pile. Now, what's this talking about? I think that what it's really talking about is a situation like we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 30 and 31. In the Corinthian church, there was a lot of open sin. There was a lot of rebellion, a lot of disobedience. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 30 and 31, talking to those Corinthians that were abusing the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And he says, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." And Paul was saying, you're living in outright sin. And as a consequence of that, some are weak, some are sickly, some have even passed away. And I believe that for some of those Christians, they were one of those vines, one of the vine branches that had shut off the life-giving sap, said, I don't want to do what you want me to do, Jesus. And so they are pruned. Their life is cut off. Their salvation is secure, but their physical life was cut off. We read also in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. But there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. So this is serious business. As a part of the vine, as a branch on the vine, it is our natural privilege, our natural responsibility to bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, we better watch out because there are consequences. Our salvation is secure, but there may be other consequences that aren't so pleasant. Sickness, even death. But yet, that's the exception to the rule. That's not the norm. The norm, if you are a branch on the vine, is to bear fruit and to bear much fruit. That is our privilege. We continue on in John 15. We look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Abiding in Christ means that Christ's words abide in us. And so, as ones who abide in Christ, we love God's word. We absorb God's word. God's word is within us. And whenever that's the case, whenever we're in close fellowship with God, we have unhindered access to God in prayer. And so the Spirit-filled believer will pray to God, and he will say, as the Lord wills, but really, for the one who abides in Christ, the will of the believer and the will of God, they're really one. Because they are praying with the same mindset. For the one who abides in Christ, their prayers will be answered. We come to verse 8 as we close this passage. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We don't want to bear fruit just so that we can say, well, I have borne this much fruit. I am a super abundant fruit bearer. That's not the whole purpose of it. The whole purpose of bearing fruit is not for our own prestige or our own fame. No, the purpose of bearing fruit is to give glory to God the Father, to make His name great. That's the desire to bear much fruit. To bear much fruit, that's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We cannot be a true disciple without relying upon Christ, without being really a part of Him. What a blessing it is to pray to God and to know that our prayers will be answered. That's the truth of the one who abides in Him. The question for us this morning is, are you connected to the vine? That's the question we have to ask first and foremost. Are you connected to the vine? Do you know about Jesus? But it's more than just, do you know about Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior? You probably all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Most people know that verse, but have you made it personal in your own life? Have you personally believed in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him for your salvation? If you have trusted in Him, you're a child of God and you are a part of the vine. You are one of the branches. You are a disciple. But now the question is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, what type of a branch are you? Are you a branch that is bearing fruit? A branch that is bearing much fruit? A branch that is abiding in Christ? Or are you a branch that really has cut off the supply of life-giving sap? What type of a branch are you? God wants the best for us. God the Father, He is the master gardener. He is the master vine dresser. And He is caring for us. And He knows what is best. Are we allowing God to care for us? Allowing Him to prune us even? Taking off those little bits of areas of our life that hinder us so that we might bear more fruit. Let us pray this morning. Let's encourage one another that we might be fruitful, that we might abide in Christ, that we might love Him and obey Him so that God would be glorified whenever we bear much fruit. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the picture here in John. the picture of the vine and the branches, and the Father as the vine dresser. We thank you that you are the vine, you are a source of our life. We thank you that we are the branches, that our life is in you, that we can only bear fruit as we are connected and in fellowship, abiding with you, in you. And so we do thank you for these marvelous truths. I do pray that as a church, we'd be a church who is a healthy church, one that is abiding in you, abiding in Christ, a church full of members that is bearing much fruit and all to the glory of God. So I do thank you for your compassion on us. Thank you that you are patient. Even whenever we go astray, I thank you that you bring us back to yourself. So I do pray even that we'd be abiding in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close this morning with 366. 366. I surrender all. As you find your place there, go ahead and stand up. 366.
Fruitful branch on the vine, we must be surrendered to Jesus Christ. We don't want to keep anything back. We want to lay our lives open before God and say, Lord, use me, mold me, change me into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're just saying, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily life. That's what it is to abide in Christ, to love and to trust him, to obey him. I hope that's your desire this morning.
Let's close at the final verse. Determined to be more conformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that your word, Father, would dwell richly in us, that we might be transformed, Father, into the more glorious image of him who saved us, so that, Father, we may serve you, worship you, and, Father, enjoy your presence all the more as we become more like you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.